When you have high expectations, a lot of hype, and financial failure, you often end up with a flop. And this week, in a four-part series, we'll be celebrating famous flops in entertainment. We'll hear an anatomy of a flop, how Hollywood types cope with failure. We'll look at flops that flipped, things that at first failed but went on to become classics. To kick off our series, NPR's Elizabeth Blair takes a look at some famous flops and why we love them.
The first known use of the word flop as a verb meaning fail was in P.G. Wodehouse's novel, A Damsel in Distress. Aaron McKean is editor-in-chief of the Oxford American Dictionary.
His citation is from 1919, and it's a theatrical context. The summertime number flopped on the second night.
In 1937, A Damsel in Distress became a big-budget movie musical starring Fred Astaire and songs by George and Ira Gershwin.
Holding hands at midnight, neath a starry sky.
Whoa.
Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try.
But Damsel flopped. Some say that's because Fred danced without Ginger. Broadway's had plenty of flops. There's the infamous Carrie the Musical, which lost its investors over $7 million in the late 1980s. Or, more recently, the much-ballyhooed Taboo, the show based on the life of pop star Boy George.
Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry?
Taboo was produced and financed by Rosie O'Donnell, and she lost about $10 million doing it. Peter Marks, theater critic for The Washington Post, believes Taboo was one of those shows that shouldn't have been on Broadway in the first place.
It probably would have done quite well in a small, like, dark theater space somewhere with all that wonderful Boy George music. So sometimes it's just that simple. Maybe the right time, but just the wrong place.
The wrong cast is another ingredient of a flop. Take the 1993 TV sitcom It Had to Be You. Faye Dunaway played a magazine editor dating a single father of three boys. Jenny Bix, an executive producer on Sex and the City, was a writer on It Had to Be You. She says viewers could not see the star of Bonnie and Clyde being a lighthearted stepmom.
We would get notes like, please don't have any scenes with her and the boys together, which is kind of hard because that was basically the show.
CBS yanked it after just four episodes. Hollywood lore is littered with mega flops. One famous example is Ishtar, which lost Columbia Pictures nearly $40 million. Another was the ill-fated movie version of Bonfire of the Vanities, based on the huge bestseller by Tom Wolfe.
We should move up here. Have you ever thought? I mean, what if we moved out of New York?
A lot went wrong with the film Brian De Palma directed for Warner Brothers. In her book, The Devil's Candy, Julie Salomon says, for starters, studio executives watered down Wolfe's social satire for the big screen.
The whole point of Bonfire of the Vanities, the book, was to be offensive. It offended everybody. Rich people, white people, black people. It was an equal opportunity offender. And, you know, the studio got nervous.
So they made changes, often against Brian De Palma's will. For example, they changed a white Jewish judge working in a racially mixed borough to a black judge played by Morgan Freeman.
All right, Mr. Lockwood, you sit down. And if and when your lawyer deigns to grace us with his
presence... 2-6, Judge.
Beg pardon?
2-6.
There was a lot of pressure from the studio executive to tone things down to make them more politically correct.
Add to that the enormous anticipation surrounding Bonfire, since just about everyone in the media had read Tom Wolfe's book. Critics were venomous, audiences stayed away, and Bonfire bombed. If there's anyone who knows about living through a flop, it's Stephen Bock. He was one of the executives at United Artists who signed off on a movie called Heaven's Gate.
I think a flop has to be such an enormous event in which the expectations that have been aroused by publicity or the director or the stars are so little met that makes the movie in question seemed to stand for something larger than itself.
Heaven's Gate was written and directed by Michael Cimino, whose movie The Deer Hunter had just won 5 Academy Awards. Cimino made Heaven's Gate on a lavish scale, including an extended dance sequence shot at enormous expense in Oxford, England. some ways, what happened with Heaven's Gate is just the opposite of Bonfire of the Vanities, where the studio interfered too much. Stephen Bach says, in this case, the studio lost control.
The big misstep that we made was believing the director when he said, I can make this movie for $12 million. He couldn't, and he didn't. He made it for three times that.
Heaven's Gate ended up losing some $44 million. Stephen Bach resigned. He went on to write a book about the experience called Final Cut. United Artists was sold off by its corporate owners. Some films are labeled flop unjustly. There was Kevin Costner's Waterworld, nicknamed Kevin's Gate, and Elizabeth Taylor's notoriously over-budgeted Cleopatra. Both eventually turned a profit. Others really do lose money and go on to become punchlines, like J-Lo and Ben Affleck's Gigli. Stephen Bach has a theory on why people seem to relish a good flop.
There is a need to slap down yesterday's hero. And that was true with Heaven's Gate. A lot of the critics seemed to feel, we said too many nice things about The Deer Hunter and we didn't really mean them. So we're going to take him away now.
TV writer and producer Jenny Bix believes people are fascinated with flops because they know it could have been them.
Everybody wants to see somebody fail because it makes them feel like they're not the only ones who have it in them. Anyone is capable of making a mistake.
After watching the Bonfire debacle unfold, Julie Salomon says, it's a miracle good movies ever get made at all. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.